Welcome back to the GIR, everybody. We're excited to be on here today. I'm Rob. Kyle, my partner here, is going to introduce our guest, kind of a unique guest this week, and I'm excited to have a great, fun conversation about golf today. Kyle?
Yeah, we've got the crystal ball. It's been polished and clear, and we can see into the future. I'm pleased to welcome my good friend Colin Weston to the show. Colin is a true golf innovator, entrepreneur, community builder. He's a regular speaker and moderator at the PGA Show and a founding partner at Reviver Sports Entertainment, and perhaps best known as a blue ocean strategist in the world of golf, where he talks about the future of golf in his own podcast, which I hope we can get into, Mod Golf Podcast. So welcome to the show, Colin.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's a pleasure. Before we got on, you actually said, put some pressure on me here, that had to keep the energy level high and the answers short here. So I'll do my best to tick both of those boxes today.
Yeah, well, the theme of the day is don't suck. That's what we're going to do today. Let's not ruin everything for two podcasts come together and blah. So let's do something a little bit better today. Kyle, you were going to say something before I...
Well, yeah, I just thought, because Colin's not our usual U.S.-based guest. So where do we find you today, Colin?
I'm in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So folks in the States don't know where that is. So just north of Seattle, about 90-minute drive north of Seattle.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I teased it a little bit in the intro as a golf innovator, futurist, strategist. Why don't you take us through a bit of your background, because I know you really came out of the design world, and how you end up in golf, and maybe that'll, you know, get us started into some of the trends that we're seeing coming down the pike.
Absolutely. I'll try to condense my 7 or 8 year transformative journey into 90 seconds. So my background is in architecture. So I have been an architect for over two decades, focusing primarily in the sport architecture realm. So Olympic game level, design both stadiums and venues, but more so what really appealed to me was designing the actual experiences for fans and the actual events, and doing that also for Pan Am Games, World Championship races around the world. So if you can imagine user experience or UX for sport, and that's what we did. And myself and my business partner as entrepreneurs back in 2013, we're both golf. We're not very good. I'm getting a little better now. I'm down to about a 14 handicap, but I was up over 20, just like him. But we love golf. And we saw gaps and pain points, and golf at that time was under decline with rounds way down. And we just saw an opportunity. It's like, how do we connect using our background as designers to make golf more welcoming and inviting and more fun? So the first thing we actually created was called Ripped Links. And that is, if you imagine, American Ninja Warrior meets 16th hole at Phoenix Open on steroids. A little bit of Red Bull action sports sprinkled in, and kind of take it to the people with a kind of a loud event. That's only a day long with high level competition. So without getting into that too much, that was our start and our response. And we got some traction from that, met tons of great people, have worked with Topgolf as consultants over the years and other groups, PGA of America, and ended up evolving with the Mod Golf Podcast. And the reason of doing that, more than 3 years and 85 episodes in, is to make connections and to meet amazing people that I didn't know existed or would not have access to. And that's been the kind of the driving force behind my why of creating the Mod Golf Podcast, where we speak to the innovators, influencers, disruptors, and entrepreneurs who are shaping the future of golf.
That's pretty cool. I mean, working in a tech company, when you say the UX of golf, I mean, UX is such a technology term, you know, the user experience. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna apply it? So we've got dozens of thousands of golf courses around the world. What do they do when they take a piece of what you're doing or talking about? How do they apply a little bit of your UX flavor into their mundane day-to-day to spice it up, kick their facility, their business in the pants a little bit to do something a little bit different?
Yeah, great question. If you would have asked me about a month ago, I might have said, well, this, that, and the other, but I could be very, very definitive with that now. A couple episodes ago, my guest was Robert Cerecci, and Robert is the GM and COO of Medina Country Club, just outside of Chicago, and he has transformed the club and the membership and the business model with his background in hospitality and experience. Now, by creating experiences that aren't necessarily around golf, and now they are more vibrant than ever. Whereas 5 years ago, they were struggling. Membership was down, people were leaving, and now they've got this massive wait list. And it's not about creating necessarily golf-related experiences. It's all those experiential touch points across the journey of someone, the time they arrive, to how the staff interacts with them and the other experiences they have off the course, and appeals to everybody in the family. So these are the type of things that they're doing on the course. And Robert Cerecchi is a great example of that. And myself and our business, and a lot of what we focus on also with the Mod Golf Podcast and my business with Reviver Sport Entertainment, is making golf or any sport welcoming and inviting for everybody. So it doesn't matter age, gender, ethnicity, sexual orientation. Make golf not only the game of golf, but the $85 billion a year golf industry, as far as vendors and businesses, make that accessible to them also. And that's what we talk about on the podcast. And sometimes it's technology, sometimes it's experiences, sometimes it's the combination of both of those coming together. Sometimes it's the community building, grassroots of people like Latina golfers. This is one amazing woman out of LA that runs that, and other examples I can cite too, if we want to get into that.
Great.
Yeah, you really do have sort of a who's who of guests on your show, and I want to commend you on that. I know we've sort of been cherry picking a few that you've had because they're great, great ideas. At the Golf Wire, we started something this year called the Golf Podcast Network, and I have been overwhelmed by the response. I mean, almost each week we get a new podcast network inquiry that your show that wants to join the network. But you were kind of early on, going back, what, 2017 did you start your show?
May of 2017 when we launched, and looked at this in 2016. The quick backstory there is I've never done anything in podcasting. I've got some other friends that have, and they did it for all the right reasons that I've embraced. I'm not going to be a Joe Rogan and have a million downloads with every single podcast episode. So how do I create something that has value for listeners? And now that we've got our YouTube channel, for viewers also, but tied into, Kyle, what you mentioned earlier, Blue Ocean Strategy that I'm involved with. So everybody out there thinking, what the heck is this Blue Ocean Strategy thing? That's a business methodology from two New York Times best-selling books. That the essence of that is, in business, rather than fighting over the kind of the metaphorical scraps in the red ocean, kind of race to the bottom, it's all about price, the pie is only this big and you're kind of fighting for a piece of it, that you do business and you look for opportunities in that kind of that uncharted open blue ocean. And I've done that with golf, and Topgolf's a great example of that too. Whereas the 10 million visitors they had pre-COVID in 2019, over half of them identify as non-golfers, never picked up a club before or play like once or twice a year. So that's a great blue ocean strategy. I apply the same to podcasting. As you've seen, Kyle, with my podcast, there's tons of podcasts that talk about the PGA Tour, about, latest tips and tricks and just game improvement. There's people that are amazing at that and do a great job. And that's not what I do. That's not my strength. So what do I bring to the table that is different and is unique and adds value in a way that others don't? So that's, I think, as you see with what I do in this innovation space now, not a lot of people are doing this. And it's an area that I know, not only in golf, but also across all business sectors and tech sectors also.
Yeah, maybe you can talk some more about the Blue Ocean Strategy. I know I read that book years ago, maybe 5 or even 10, I don't know how old it is. But they've actually reached out to you and have created kind of a subsection for Blue Ocean Strategy within the golf world.
Absolutely.
Talk more about your relationship with them.
Yeah, so this is, I guess, if you want to have one tip number one here today for people out there, whether you're considering to be an entrepreneur, even in the golf space or in other areas, or considering this, one of the things you need to do is forge partnerships. Don't go it alone. There's this old saying that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, you got to go together. And one thing that I've done, and I do this over time, is I cultivate relationships and offering guests that I get introduced to, or I reach out to, the opportunity to be on the podcast and give them this opportunity to this media opportunity to get some value from that. And that's that first step in a relationship. And I did the same with Blue Ocean Strategy. I've been working with them for a couple of years, and they asked me to write a blog post about the golf industry on their website, which has much more reach and much more value for me also, rather than me just writing something and posting it on the Mod Golf Podcast website where I may get a couple of hundred people viewing that. Now I've got tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So this is the way to kind of amplify that signal and your own voice there. And the same that I do with the Golf Wire, have the great partnership I have with you. These are things that are incredibly important to help propel yourself forward with your business and your venture and your startup in this case.
Yeah. We'll put a link in the show notes to both the book and maybe your resources there, because it's a fantastic read. It's a great business insights book, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I agree. And I've had that opportunity at the PGA show, and hopefully virtually this year. I'm just talking to them right now about helping with their education series again in January. But I've been at the show quite a few times now where I've done a couple of things. One thing I do have, I have the Golf Disruptors panel, where there's always at the show, because there's 40,000 people there, where I have dozens of my previous guests, and I just reach out to four of them and say, hey, you want to put a panel discussion together? And they say, heck yeah, let's do that. So we've had that a couple of times. And I've also had the opportunity to speak to members in the golf industry, usually the majority of them being club operators, managers, or owners. And the key there is, how do you transform your business? This idea with Bluish and Strategy, how do you shift your business from what you're doing already, not to discard what you're doing, that core business that you have with your revenue model of running a golf course and the hospitality that goes with that, that's going to come back once COVID kind of settles down a bit. But how do you find other opportunities? And a great example of that is what they've done, what Troon has done at Indian Wells with their golf course there, rather than, well, how do we, you know, we can't get more people on the golf course. We're not building another 18 holes. So how do we take this, what they've done with more of a kind of Airbnb or Uber approach? It's like, okay, we've got the driving range, we've got the putting green, we've got these underutilized assets that are sitting there dormant for 75% of the time at night, 100% of the time. So then they created through technology, through another company called NextLinks, that I'm friends with the Dave Schultz, who's the founder of that, of using that technology to gamify that experience. So then all of a sudden they're attracting non-golfers or people that have lapsed and are not involved in the game because they don't have the time or the ability or the money to play traditional 18 holes of golf. So those are those Blue Ocean Strategy opportunities there. And what they've done there at Indian Wells at Troon with Shots in the Night, as they call it, is a great example of that.
It looks so fun. We've got a bunch of pictures and B-roll here at the Wire that they sent us, and I'll put them in the show notes. But it's just, it's ingenious. I mean, it's
you just should share that for sure.
Yeah, right. It sits there dormant at night. Why not turn it into essentially a golf disco and have fun with it?
It's absolutely. And I find it in the golf industry, I find it interesting. I go to the PGA show and people say, how do you know all this stuff as far as innovation? And the fact that I work also, one of the other hats I wear is a community leader and founder of Startup Vancouver, which is one of over 40 chapters of Startup Canada across the country, which is the voice of the 3.5 million entrepreneurs in our country here. And I just take everything I've learned from that and apply it to the golf industry. And I have to say, you know, as you guys know, the golf industry is a laggard when it comes to innovation for the most part. It's behind so many other industries and either other sports, right? Just as far as how we consume on the entertainment side with golf, and also the recreational side of playing, and then also with the industry, the opportunity for businesses then to expand and be part of that $85 billion a year industry. So for me, the bar is already quite low. So it's not that hard to be innovative in golf right now. But it is getting better. And that's the exciting part. The fact the last 3 or 4 years, things have just exponentially moved forward, which is a good thing.
Yeah, we've had a few, we had one of, who I think at least is one of the leading social influencers on Tisha Allin was on with us, geez, what, about 2 months ago now, Kyle, talking a little bit about kind of like the social influencing economy in golf and, you know, what's happened there and how social media, really Instagram in particular, has played kind of a big role in some inclusion in golf. But can we talk a little bit about 2020 and what you've seen? I don't think it's any secret at this point. Rounds have been way up. Participation's been up a little bit this year. What have you seen, especially with some of the people you're talking about, because you're talking with a lot of your guests are a little bit more on including people, like we said before we started recording, people that don't look like us necessarily in the game of golf. What impacts have you seen this year in particular with participation up, some of these ideas, everything kind of meeting at this point that COVID's created with people looking for outlets, people looking for things to do? And we've talked about hospitality a little bit on here. Maybe people aren't traveling as much, but local markets, drive markets, courses they can get to locally have to be benefiting from this as well. What have you seen in inclusion and in growth and extra participation, and what have been some big takeaways there as this season's unfolded?
Yeah, great question. Well, the insights that I can provide for you through my conversations with the PGA of America and also with Golf Canada up here is there's this real opportunity now to make that diversity inclusion platform really real and really connect with people that are more diverse in their representation, because as we talked about earlier, that golf is built for social distancing. It's one of those sports that you have as compared to, I can't go play 3-on-3 basketball with buddies now and go sweating all over each other and kind of pushing each other around. That doesn't work. But with golf, it is built like that. So one of the challenges I found, almost this tension, is that golf course owners and facilities now need that revenue from rounds played. So it's really difficult to get tee times now. It really is. And a lot of them, the supply and demand issue, are actually raising the prices, whether it's public courses and semi-private. So it's even more difficult to get on a golf course, but also reconciling that with seeing there's this interest now from people that normally haven't looked at golf as a recreational outlet, especially during COVID, now that are gravitating towards the game. So I will say there is this kind of this duality or this tension, this issue of how do we welcome people to the game, whereas a lot of the golf course owners are struggling to generate revenue because they can't, there's no banquets, there's no weddings right now. So all the F&B hospitality side, that revenue is driven way down. So they desperately just need to fill the golf courses, but they also realize that long-term and midterm 5 to 10 year outlook is the game has to look more like America looks. And as far as that diverse representation, and that's the opportunity. So technology is some of the guests that I've had on with what they're actually doing both virtually for game improvement and off course, that is certainly taking off. The combination of esports, I'm finding that a lot of golf tech startups are looking to infuse what's working in esports and bringing that to virtual and on-course experiences and augmented reality, virtual reality. There's all these other things that are still kind of coalescing that haven't quite come together, but because if I can, one of the great quotes I had from the founder of Hype Sports Innovation, which is a global sports incubator and accelerator as far as startups and focusing on golf. He actually put it like this. He says, we've been forced, and the golf industry is no exception, to be put in a time machine and kind of thrust forward a decade into 2030, whether we like it or not, just like education has been forced to do this. So the golf industry, rather than saying, oh, those are things we'll do in 5 years or 2 years, and we'll slowly kind of incrementally kind of work that into what we're doing, is like, no, now you've got no choice now because of what's been placed upon us with the pandemic, is you need to now treat it like it was doing things that you were going to do in 2030, you've got to do now. So that puts a lot of pressure on people, but also pandemics and recessions are the fertile ground for innovation, and the golf industry is no exception to that.
100%. I think that's a great point. You know, and honestly, I think you mentioned earlier about golf being a little bit of a laggard. I mean, maybe this is just really the kick in the pants that golf needed to kind of to get to there. I mean, things that should have happened in, as you just said, in 2030 for golf are really things that are happening in other industries now. You know, there's a lot of technology adoption, things that other industries have been doing for the last couple of years that golf has been pushed into this year. So I think it's been, you know, while I would like to turn the clock back and make it go away and not have any of us dealing with this at all, it's been a good thing for golf overall, in my opinion.
It has. And one thing I've seen in other industries too, and kind of looking back in history at during recessions, and even look at 2008, 2009 with the financial collapse in the housing market and the recession there, which that recession compared to what we're in now, it looks like kindergarten, right? What we're in now. But look what came out of that. Airbnb didn't exist before that. A lot of the social media platforms didn't exist before that. Uber didn't exist before that. So all of those really innovative, disruptive companies and technologies all came at that time during a recession, during that down period. So for golf industry people that are thinking, you know, we got to be super conservative right now, we've just got to kind of circle the wagons and put our horns in, kind of brace for the storm and come through the other side until things get back to the way they were. I think to your point, it's like, they're not going to go back to the way they were. Hopefully right. It goes back a good chunk of the way, the pendulum kind of swings back there, but this is uncharted territory. That, and there's been this paradigm shift now that we can't put that genie back in the bottle. So either you need to innovate to thrive and survive, or if you're just going to slowly kind of go down with the ship and think that if you do things the way that you've always done them, you know, Darwinian selection tells us that doesn't work. And so citing those examples of 2008, 2009, I think you'll see in the next 24 to 36 months, some very interesting things coming out. And I wish I had that crystal ball that I can say where those are. But I think once again, that intersection of technology, especially what's going on in virtual reality, augmented reality, big data, kind of that Internet of Things, machine learning, there's gonna be some really interesting things that are gonna come out of that. And the way we play golf, the way we train, the way we learn, and the way we have fun.
Very good. Well, for all of those course operators out there that are listening right now, if you are not clamoring to go find Colin's podcast to make sure you're getting episode by episode, these bits that you can have as takeaways and maybe some action plans from some of his guests that are talking about these items, by all means, you know, we don't just blatantly plug things very often here in our podcast, but I think we need to plug this for those that are not listening into Mog Golf, and it'll be in the show notes and it'll show on the screen if you watch on YouTube. You got to go tune into some of Colin's guests because these people are, you know, they're the boots on the ground. They're talking about this week in and week out as a way of life for them. So I absolutely need to give it a listen.
Well, I appreciate that. And that is the key in all the episodes of the 85 or so we've done over 3 years. I make a point with our team to make sure they're evergreen. If people don't know what that is, that means that it's right. A conversation we had 2 years ago is still relevant today. Like I don't do the, you know, Masters preview 2020. And then guess what? Monday morning, which is today when we're doing this thing, then you may as well delete that one because it's not relevant anymore. So the conversations we've had are just amazing. The diverse guest roster that I've had the privilege of speaking to. And I'm sincere when I say this, I now have 85 ambassadors, 85 mentors that I've been introduced to. And in some cases I've got dozens of friends now that have people that otherwise I would have not had the opportunity to connect with. So it's been a great ride here and continues to be so with the Mod Golf podcast. And I truly believe we're just getting started here.
Very good.
That is one of the great benefits of starting a podcast. For those of you who are thinking about it, you do a cold invite to somebody to see if they want to join your show. And then by the end of it, you sort of leave as friends and you stay in touch over the course of years after the interview. So I know that's been my experience. So yeah,
absolutely.
That's right. Should we wrap up, Kyle?
Yeah, I you've touched on everything.
Quit while we're ahead on this one today.
So. You even teased the PGA show, which I wanted to, you know, I don't know. I was looking forward to seeing you here in Orlando, and I guess maybe we'll see you online virtually because they've got a dynamic kind of education and virtual experience plan. So that's going to be fantastic.
Well, that's the plan. Like I said, I'm back and forth with my friends over at Reed Exhibitions that are doing the show virtually for the first time. So I'd love to have them back on the podcast too, because I've spoken to Mark Simon, who's part of the leadership team over there.
Yeah, Mark. Yep.
Just as far as how they are transforming and how they're coping. And I find that's one of the really interesting conversational pieces I'm having right now with people is like, well, what are you doing to recalibrate and retarget as an entrepreneur? I don't like using the term pivot. That seems to be such a common thing. In my mind, pivot usually means you've kind of given up on what you're doing. You're doing something completely different rather than getting out there and talking to your customers and to your users and to your fans and asking them what is it they want. And I try to do the same with a podcast rather than create content and then shout it out and try to find people to listen to it. It's like really listening to my listeners and finding out what it is that resonates with them and what they want to hear and what's important. And I think that's true for any business, whether it's a product or service or experience or even a podcast, is create content and create experiences and products that people want. And the only way you're going to do that is by asking questions and listening. And that's the key for a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah, well said. Well, perhaps we'll draw to a close on that fine point. Want to wish you well in Canada. Hope things continue to go well for you up there. Like I said, won't see you in Orlando in the next few months, but I know we'll continue to stay in touch, and we'll have you back on the show in a few months and or a year to see how some of these innovations have come together.
Absolutely. No, I look forward to the opportunity to seeing you both face-to-face and over a beer or a coffee or both or whatever that is. And right now our border is closed, but hopefully this changes in 2021 and we're able to see each other very soon. And thanks again for all the support you provided for the Mod Golf Podcast. And yeah, let's keep it going.
Very good. Thanks, Colin. It was great having you on. I'll wrap it up. I'm Rob. That's Kyle. Colin, thanks for being on. We will talk to you guys again soon on the GIR.
Good stuff. All right, bye for now.